The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney, Cork's Red FM.
Welcome back to First Cork Food Stories of 2021. This podcast is all about talking to the food suppliers and producers of Cork and having them share their wonderful stories with us. I'm passionate about educating people about food. My own business does the same. I do everything from the comfort of your own home. That can be anything from helping you reorganize your kitchen, doing private bespoke lessons, small group classes for fun evenings, or helping you cook or prepare for dinner parties or home events, all while supporting our local suppliers in Cork. The past year has been a difficult one for the hospitality industry, and we have all looked at ways and how we can support our local food businesses while we can also have a little bit of that dine out feeling in our homes. My first guest for this season is Orla McAndrew, who owns and runs Orla McAndrew Catering. Orla is from Donaghmore in County Cork and started her wedding and event catering business in 2018. On top of her busy career, she is married to Steve and also a mom of three girls. Orla had to change her business last year due to COVID and make some additional services available to you. So Orla, thank you for joining. Welcome to this week's podcast, Cork Food Stories.
Hi Clara, how are you? And thank you so much for having me on.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. I am really looking forward to listening to your story and having a good chat with you about how you've actually changed your business, what your business is all about, and sharing that story with the people of Cork.
Thank you.
So, I suppose, Orla, you know, I always start with this. I always go back to the early days with my guests, and I like to really get a feel of what their childhood was like, what growing up and what types of food was around them. How do they actually learn how to cook? How did your passion start? So tell us a little bit about that for you, Orla.
Well, I suppose we'll take it way back to my granny and granddad. My grandfather was the gardener with Clonallis House in Castlereagh in County Roscommon. And that's where he met my granny, who was the cook for the house.
Oh, brilliant.
My granny was just a phenomenal cook, and we grew up knowing that she was the best cook of sausages and beans, but we had no idea what her actual repertoire was until we got much older and kind of got to peer into her cookbooks and saw all these beautiful spices and herbs and stuff that we'd never even heard of that were all in her little notebooks. So I suppose she's the original of the species, and she passed her love of cooking on to my mom. And when we were kids, we moved to London, actually, when I was about 10. And my mom sustained us all by going off and cooking apple tarts for all of the 5-star hotels in London.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, she was an industrious little woman. And I remember, I was 10 that time. And I remember coming home from school every day and just peeling apples all day long, basically. Until I was about 15. And then she had, my mom had a little burger van for all intents and purposes in the Kentish Town Market in London, but she wasn't doing burgers at all. She was doing like 3-course fine dining meals from this burger. Amazing woman, very hardworking woman. And food has just always been such an important part of our lives and such a, yeah, a very clear way of how we show love to each other as well.
So. Yeah, I find that as well. I think food, it's not just about what we eat or the types of food we eat. It's about how it connects people. It is just fantastic. That's amazing, Orla. So how long were you in London for? When did you return back to London?
So we moved over in 89 and moved back in 99. So all my kind of formative years were over there, and I went to school in London and stuff.
Okay. Brilliant. So that must have been a bit of a shock for you coming back to Ireland after 10 years being over there in London.
Do you know the biggest shock at the time, actually, was the amount that people swear. I remember stepping off the boat and going, oh, my goodness. Everywhere you turn, people were effing and blinding, and that took a little while to get used to. But
it's part of the Irish way, isn't it, really? But anyway, you got used to that.
Yeah.
And now, look, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about your business in a while, but take us back to, you know, where your career started and how your passion started and how you decided you wanted to turn your passion for food into a business.
So I suppose, actually, around the time that we moved back in 99, I I had been doing a degree in London. I was 2 years through it. And of course, I wasn't very prepared when I came home. I just thought I could transfer over. Yeah. And it turns out I couldn't. And so I did a little bit of bar work and I worked for the Brothers of Charity for a couple of years. And I was kind of establishing myself in Cork. And I was beginning to wonder what I was going to do with myself for in the long term. And I applied for both the culinary arts degree and a degree in social care services as well.
Okay.
And they were both due to start in September 2004. And in August, I read the Anthony Bourdain Kitchen Confidential book.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And that swung it for me. So, so I was like, right, that's it. Culinary arts it is. So I did that course. And actually, while I was still in college, RTE came to the college and they were looking for students to participate in the Master's Apprentice.
Oh, brilliant.
I don't know if you remember it, but it was a 6-part series run by RTE where they placed students with masters basically in industry, in the hospitality industry in Ireland. And I went for it and I was placed with the Ovation Event Management in Dublin.
Fantastic.
So that was during the third year of my degree, and it was one hell of an experience. Like,
well,
it was,
I can imagine.
It was phenomenal.
Did you have the cameras around, following you around, Orla, yeah, as well?
I was famous for a week. It was great, though, because like they placed me with an event management company, which was not really what I thought I was going back to college for. Like I went back to college entirely for my love of food.
Yeah.
But it actually opened up other doors to me. Like when I finished my degree, I got a job immediately then with the Killarney Park Hotel in Killarney and the Great Southern, or the Malton as it was then, yeah, the Ross. And I was there, I was the event manager for all three hotels.
Wow.
Basically on the back of that TV appearance. But realistically, I hadn't an absolute notion what I was doing. So these three beautiful hotels had hired me as an event manager, and I walked in and I was all, you know, delighted with life and thinking this is wonderful. But sure, I hadn't an absolute clue. And every event I ran came back to food. And yeah, they were like, I think they didn't know what to do with me and I didn't know what to do with them. And it was short-lived enough, to be fair. But it was a great learning.
Absolutely. And I suppose the thing is that, yes, you kept coming back to food, but having that experience in event management has definitely helped you later on in life anyway as well. So
100%. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, yeah, how things happen as well with our careers and how we change up a bit. That was amazing. And throughout all of this, of course, you met Steve and you got married. Where did you meet Steve?
Well, that's another random one, but I was on a night out in Galway, of all places, and happened to meet up with this chap called Steve. Thought he was the bee's knees, and 2 weeks later, he moved off to England for himself. So I thought that was the end of that, but we stayed in touch through email and stuff, and a year or so later, I went over to Scotland for our first date again, and the rest is history. The rest is history. I followed him over there for a while. And had all two of our girls over there. And then when we came back, we had the third little girl, Ellie, who's nearly two now. So I suppose during that time when I met Steve, I had a little bit of a career break.
Yeah.
I was just concentrating on having the girls, but that's not strictly true either. When I was over in Scotland, I did start a little freezer meal business where I was making food for my little girls and I was supplying to my friends as well for their little kids.
Amazing.
So that entrepreneurial spirit was always there, and that need to kind of do something and be creative has always been there in the background. And I always feel like all the little things that I ever did in my life literally kind of led me to where I am now. And I always felt that they would. I just didn't ever know where this would be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. But I suppose that is it. You were so busy as well. I mean, rearing a family and young kids as well at the time. And, you know, living abroad as well. But when did you come back from Scotland? What year did you get back from Scotland then?
We're back 5 years now. We're back 5 years. And for the first couple of years, I went back to the Pigs Back in Douglas. I don't know. I'm sure you know it.
Of course. Yeah.
Gorgeous little cafe. And I'd worked there when I was pregnant with Nora, actually, my firstborn, which was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so when we came back from Scotland, I worked there part-time as a Saturday girl, just kind of washing lettuce and cutting bread. And
In the kitchen, enjoying it. Yeah.
Enjoying it. It was a little space outside of the family for me and a few bob in my back pocket and just something other than the children. So it was
absolutely
nice for a little
while. And I absolutely then love the story of, you know, how your career started. You know, like the passion, obviously, and you can hear it from me. And every time I talk to you or just look at your stuff that you've got around social media, you can see how passionate you are about food. But I just love how OM Catering actually all began. So tell us about that day in Regional Park where you randomly met a girl who needed a caterer.
So, yeah. So around that time, I was in the Regional Park in Ballincollig and I was there with my friend Elma and a friend of hers joined us and I'd never met her before. And we just all got talking and Ruth was her name. And she happened to mention that she would get married in 6 weeks, but she was having trouble getting a caterer. And both myself and Elma were like, oh my God, are you mental? you'll never get a caterer in 6 weeks for a wedding. And she was like, yeah, it's 130 people and we'd like to have it in the Crick Club. And my need to help and my desire to sort her out kind of, I jumped and I was out. Like, I think I could do this. I actually think I could do this. And myself and Ruth clicked so instantly that she was like, oh my God, if you could do it, then you're the one for me. Let's go there. So I said, leave it with me a week and I'll actually think about this because I have a tendency to jump into things head first. And so I thought about it and I worked out the logistics and as I got back to her and I said, you know what, Ruth, I can do this and I will do this for you. And if you trust me to do this, then I promise I won't let you down. And so she was like, 100%, go for it. And that was it. That was the start of the rest of my life, basically.
Amazing. So and you forgot to mention, because you were pregnant with Ellie at the time, weren't you?
Well, no, actually, funnily enough, that came later. That came just after the wedding. Both myself and Ruth got pregnant at the same time after the wedding.
Amazing. And so you obviously went back home and said, hi, Steve, I'm thinking of taking on a new job. 130 people I need to cater for at a wedding.
Literally exactly that. But it wasn't a massive shock to him because I think he knew that I was beginning to feel a little bit restless just before that. And I was beginning to feel like there was more to life than, I suppose, washing lettuce and cutting bread.
Yeah.
And I knew I was ready for a big challenge. And when I came in, I know that he saw that I was absolutely buzzing and he was behind me 100% of the way. And
amazing. Yeah.
Because of that, it was possible, I suppose.
Absolutely. So I know you had your sister helping you as well, Orla, but you obviously had to hire a number of staff to help you out in your first catering job.
Yeah, so that was the first thing. Before I told Ruth that I really could do it, I started like ringing around all my friends and all my past colleagues and anyone who I'd ever waitressed with and asking them, can you help? I'm doing something. They're all like, what are you doing? A wedding for 130 people. And they were all like, are you mental? What? But they said, okay, we'll do what we can. We'll be there. You just tell us what to do. So I had just an amazing team around me and they all knew that it was my first time ever doing anything like this. And they all wanted it to succeed for me. So because of that, it was just the most unbelievable success. Like it was such a buzz. It was amazing.
Oh, amazing. And I think, you know, when something like that happens, it's nearly this sign that you're on the right path. that, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what I've worked hard for over the years. All those little different things, from your event management, your catering, seeing your mum, working in different restaurants yourself. It nearly all came together for you, Orla. It's a fantastic story.
That literally was it. It really was a case of, even while I was doing the wedding, even on that day, I remember distinctly feeling, oh my God, this is it. This is the thing that I've been waiting for all my life. And I knew it in that moment. And I have never looked back, to be fair.
That's amazing. So that was back in 2018, your first catering event. So talk to us then about, okay, what your plan was about growing the business, because obviously you went, this is it, I want to continue doing this. So how did you go about growing your business from there?
I suppose I just never said no to anything. I instantly created like a website and a little bit of a social media page that, you know, I was never on social media before this. And I decided straight away that if I was going to make this a success, I just was not going to say no to anything, because everything was a learning. You know, I had never done anything like this before. I'm a chef by trade and I love food and I'm a feeder, but I had never actually catered. So every job that came along, I just kept saying yes, 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 yes. And through that, like, referrals kept coming through, and anyone who had tasted my food was then booking me for something else. So I did everything from communions and christenings and 30th birthdays and days after weddings, and then the little weddings started coming through, and it was just one thing after another. And yeah, just never saying no. That's how I built my business,
basically. Amazing. And I suppose then, you know, one of the things, and I know we've talked about this before, is about your passion also, just the way I am, about using local produce. So did you do that also? I know you've been doing it for the last year, which we'll talk about in a minute, but did you do that also when you were doing your catering events, you know, always making sure you had the best produce, knowing where your produce was coming from?
100%. I mean, that's been me all my life. I really utterly value our food producers here in Ireland, and especially in Cork. Our local guys are utter heroes.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the food that I choose to feed my family. So if I want to feed it to my family, then I certainly want to feed it to my guests as well. You know,
absolutely.
For me, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing the very best of what's available. And being honest, it actually makes my job way easier, because if you're starting off with really good produce, then you don't have very much to do to make it amazing when you're serving it up. So
totally agree. Yeah, absolutely agree.
Isn't that true?
It's so true. It is so true. I'm the same as well. And I think even, you know, you're right, you don't need to add a lot to really good produce to get an amazing dish at the end of the day. So so that was your catering business, and you were doing fantastically and everything was going well and you'd loads booked in and the business was thriving. And then 2020, March, it all hit, and that no doubt you did a lot of bookings for catering with everyone still planning their events. So, I mean, at the start of that, Orla, I mean, how did you get through those initial months of change?
I suppose, Clara, actually, like, it was the initial weeks, because I remember distinctly in the middle of March thinking, oh my God, I'm just about to get going here now and everything's fallen to pot, basically. But within a week or two, I was beginning to think about what could I do to make it work. Because being honest, I was just after converting the shed at the back of my house. It wasn't even fully there yet. I'm not even sure that I had the oven functional, but we had converted my shed into a proper kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, going to be the start of this business, and all this happened. So I was kind of under a little bit of pressure, and creatively as well, I needed to do something.
Yeah.
So within, I suppose by the 1st of April, I'd started offering weekend treat boxes, which was this whole celebration of Irish cheese and charcuterie.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, cool. And that proved so popular that I actually didn't even have time to think for another 3-4 months after that, because that was just so full on. It was 7 days a week, nearly 16 hours a day, really prepping and getting ready for it. So yeah, I went into the first lockdown full on, full production mode, full creativity. And being honest, by September, I had absolutely burnt myself out.
Yeah. But you'd made a lot of people happy, Orla, remember that?
So it was worth it. It was worth the burnout.
The burnout was so worth it.
You're welcome. But you know what? I had a little bit of burnout, but still and with all, like that level of creativity and that buzz and that knowing that I was doing something a little bit different and that I was offering something of value to people.
Yeah.
Meant that I knew that I was on the right track. I just needed to rein it in a little bit and get smart and think about a way that I could do it that worked around me and the family as well. So kind of
And you were still, you know, you were still having that, like, you know, the thing that we talk about all the time about connecting people through food. You were still able to do that with the, you know, with the change and everything like that, which I think is amazing. And I, you know, we've seen a lot of restaurants change everything. There's still, you can get your gorgeous meals at home as well, you know, go to the restaurants and order your fakeaways, is it, or fakeaways
and at home and all of that. I have to give a massive shout out to the restaurant scene in Cork, because there's been some unbelievable
We
should be so proud of them.
And I think we are. We had my mom's birthday actually was during the summer, and they catered. It was just family, you know, in the garden, as what people were doing last summer. But it was just so good to be able to go to a restaurant, get a gorgeous meal, not have to cook anything. All I did was the birthday cake that time, and I felt, oh, this is amazing. And then just have to do the last few steps. So I think people needed that, and you were adding to that kind of little bit of kind of just feeling a bit of normality in the home, which is fantastic. Absolutely. So well done to you too. That was brilliant. And so then another change, like, you know, another idea for you came about. And I suppose this is going back also, if we think about as what you were saying, what you were doing when you were in Scotland and having the bit, making the baby food and making freezer meals for your friends. And all of a sudden you were going, I have an idea. This is what people need. People need to be, don't need to be cooking all the time, but need to be eating healthy, good food.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you know, my sister was heavily pregnant when the first lockdown hit.
Yeah.
And that's really where this idea took off, because one of the only things I could do for her was to fill her freezer with some really nice food. And I suppose it's something that I've always done for friends who've been having babies. But it was my sister really is the entrepreneur. I'm the donkey, basically, the hard worker. And my sister is the ideas girl. And she's like, Orla, this is such a good idea. Like, this is the best thing you've ever done for me. And there's lots of other people out there who are pregnant who would love this. And you should seriously think about putting this out there. And so between us, we put out a little competition as a feeler, and sure enough, like, lots of people were interested in filling their friends' freezers with really good, wholesome and nutritious food. So it just took off from there. It was a joint idea. I have to give her a bit of credit. She'd be on to me.
I know. Sure, that's it. It's always good though, isn't it, that you also have somebody to kind of bounce the ideas off, and somebody who, not just your husband, but your sister, to be able to support you like that and push you to go, you can do this, or to go and do it. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic that you have that support.
She's fabulous. She's my best friend. So she has my back all the way.
So tell us a little bit about your services, because you do quite a lot, Orla. So talk us through the different things that you do, because I know you also supply to Neighbour Food now as well. So we can talk about, you can talk about all of that as well in a minute. But let's just chat about the different types of services that you're currently offering in the current climate.
Okay, so I'm still catering for weddings. They're a little bit smaller now, but I am still very much catering for weddings. I had seven weddings between September and December last year. And
brilliant.
I have four lined up before May of this year. So right. That's still very much the direction that I really want to take this business.
Yeah.
But while that's kind of slow and steady and building, I'm also doing care packages for like new moms and cocooning parents. So that's kind of that freezer meal offering. And there's main courses and sides and desserts and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm also stocked in the neighbor food markets. Kuskinny is my most popular market, and I'm in a couple of other ones as well, and maybe thinking about looking at other ones as well. Yeah. And I also am doing a little kind of Christmas. Do you know what? I had a break at Christmas for 1 week, and it was the first week I'd had off in a year. And whilst it was wonderful to have a break, the best thing about it was my brain got a chance to think again.
Yeah.
So brilliant. I came up with a new idea, and that was this supper club offering. So yeah. At the end of every month, I think we all deserve a little treat, and none of us can go out to a restaurant at the moment. So my idea was that we bring the restaurant to your home.
Yeah.
So like that, I'm delivering a 3-course meal, and it's pretty much all prepared, but there's a few little last minute instructions and plating ideas sent along with it. And I did my January one was the first one, and I did a little one for Valentine's as well, and February is almost sold out as well. So it's going really well, and it's really nice for me because I get to be that little bit more creative. Like my freezer meals are lovely, and they're wholesome, and they're nutritious, and they're hearty, but
yeah,
as a creative person, it's the same thing all the time. So I kind of needed this extra little thing to keep.
Yeah, which is lovely. I love doing that as well. The private parties. It's great. It is. And people really, really appreciate it. And I think they like that personal touch with it as well. And, you know, as we were saying, the restaurants are amazing. But, you know, you're kind of adding that little bit extra to it as well. And Orla, with that as well, so you advertise that on your social media, but can people book on your online, on your website for the supper clubs and also for your freezer meals?
Yes, they can. My website actually is www.omcatering.ie, and I've just had that redesigned by Limelight Media here in Cork.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with it. It launched there just before Christmas. And so it's really user-friendly. It's straightforward. And all my offerings are there. So that's the main point of contact for me.
And you have, so you're living in Dunamore, and you've a 30-kilometre radius, isn't that it?
That's right.
For your deliveries?
From Blarney, you'll say.
From Blarney, 30 kilometres radius. Okay, perfect. Okay, brilliant. And I suppose then, you know, on top of that as well, I mean, running a successful business, Orla, we all know it's a lot of hard work, but you're also running a household and you're looking after your family. You know, that would be seen as plenty for anyone to take on. But no, not you, Orla. No, you had to take on more, didn't you?
I blame my mother.
Because it just wasn't enough for you. I can see the burnout coming again. But you're really passionate about working with some amazing charities and creating fundraising for different organizations. So talk us a little bit about what you're doing there.
Do you know, I suppose I feel kind of bad that I didn't know more about the whole direct provision system for years. But it's one of those things that as soon as you find out about what it's all about and what conditions people are living in, you can't not do something. So
tell us a little bit about it, because I know some people won't know anything about it. Yeah. You know, as well,
so the direct provision system has been in existence in Ireland for about 21 years, and it's the way that we take care of, in inverted commas, people who come into our country as asylum seekers. So when you come in as an asylum seeker, you have to be housed and placed somewhere while the government obviously makes a decision on your case. And that's meant to be a very temporary thing, 3 to 6 months maximum. But unfortunately, it has, in the last 21 years, it's proven to be a very non-functional. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a functioning
organization or charity or
it's just not functioning in the way that it's meant to.
So
you'll find that asylum seekers are left 6, 7, 8 years in direct provision centers without the right to work, without the right to drive, with, you know, there's families there with children, they're living all in one room, they have no right to cook for their children. That's the thing that really got to me. Like, there's mothers who are reliant on whatever's been handed out by the center owners. So I know for in one center in the center of Ireland, they're getting rice and chips 3 times a day. And the owner has been known to say, well, if it's good enough for Irish people, it's good enough for ye. So I think that was the quote that I heard like 2, 3 years ago that really, really pushed me into action. So yeah, I do a little bit of campaign fundraising, and I also am involved in the Abolish Direct Provision Ireland campaign. So
I think this is brilliant, by the way, because I just love what they're doing with the cooking classes from their own cuisines and different types of foods. And they've had a couple now, and they've actually got quite a lot of interest in it as well, haven't they? It's brilliant.
It's actually amazing. It's Be a Friend is what you're talking about. And that's a couple of friends of mine, Caroline and Grace McCarthy, two fabulous Cork women, who are facilitating cookery classes from asylum seekers to Irish people, basically. And it's asylum seekers are teaching their culture, they're teaching their national dishes. And it's a 2-hour class whereby Irish people are getting to know and getting to see what it is to be an asylum seeker through that beautiful medium that is food, because food is just this universal language that connects us all.
Absolutely. And
such an amazing project. I'm so proud to be a little part of it. And hopefully at the end of it, I'm going to help create a cookbook based on the dishes that are made by our
amazing. And tell me, so tell people how they can actually book into one of these classes.
So they're like hen's teeth. They're sold out very, very quickly because they're kept very small. Because I suppose the idea is that it's about connection and it's not huge numbers. We want our asylum seekers to see the people who they're teaching.
Yeah.
So keep an eye. It's beafriend.com. It went live maybe a month ago, and within 2-3 days there were over 3,000 followers on Instagram. So it shows you that people are interested and people do care.
Yeah.
And it's really, that gives me great hope for the Irish people. And I think that the direct provision system is something that is going to come down in the next year or two, because it really is appalling. The more we find out about it, the more I find that Irish people are willing to put themselves out there and make sure
it's the awareness, really, Orla, isn't it? Yeah. It's about making people more aware. And just regarding to if they want to look at those classes, is there something on your website for that? Do you have anything on your website, or it's on your social media anyway, isn't it?
It's on my social media. But also, if anyone is listening and they want to follow Abolish Direct Provision Ireland, you'll see my whole social media is dotted with it.
Yeah.
But it's adpi.com, and they'll get loads of information there. Or beafriend.com as well, as the particular cooking projects.
Well, well done. That's amazing, Orla. I mean, it's just, you know, you've been just working so hard, and it's fantastic. And I love also, you know, what you do. You're always making sure what you do at the end as well is about supporting other people, whether it be, as we say, your charities, or whether it be the suppliers and the producers across Ireland, and especially in Cork. So I think it's fantastic. I mean, I think as well, you know, for me, like the past year, I've definitely learned a lot of lessons. But one of the greatest takeaways for me is ensuring we, you know, take a little bit of time for ourselves, a bit of self-care. I think it becomes so important to people, and not in a selfish way, but just ensuring that we're checking in ourselves, are doing little things like, I've been doing meditation now for nearly a year, a bit of journaling. I did loads of extra courses, and just surrounding yourself with really positive people. And of course, getting out for our walks within our 5 kilometers. But it's you know, these little things, we've started to really appreciate smaller things over, you know, the last year and with everything going on. But what about you, Orla? I mean, what do you do, and what's been your greatest kind of lessons in the past year for you personally?
I think that actually spending time with my small children, yeah, and realizing that that's actually my end goal in life. So that's helping me to create a framework around my business as well, because actually I don't ever want to be the biggest or the greatest of anything. I want to have a sustainable business whereby I can come home to my children every day, yeah, and be with them and have some time with them during the week, have some time with them at the weekends. And the whole reason I started this actually was so that I could do something from home that meant that I got to be with my children. And for me, honestly, self-care is spending time with all three of them individually and the three of them together as much as I can. And this last year, I definitely haven't had enough of it, but it has taught me that that really is the most important thing to me.
Right. It sounds like you're taking right after your mum, by the way.
Probably.
You know, your mum making apple tarts. Your kids are seeing you now in the kitchen cooking. And, you know, how bad? I mean, they're learning some valuable lessons. And I think it's really inspiring for children as well to see that from the home and to, yeah, understand that as well. So well done. That's great.
Thank you. Thank
you so much. So Orla, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. It was really lovely getting to chat to you and getting to know a bit more about your business. As we said, that you can all go onto Orla's website, which is www.omcatering.ie. And that's all her services are on there. You can book any of her services on there. You can book her freezer meals. And I know, Orla, you said you were thinking about moms and people cocooning. But to be quite honest with you, I think there'll be a lot of people, even, you know, single people out there who would love to get some of your freezer meals. So hopefully this word will get out there. And you only take a certain amount. Isn't that right? On a week to week basis, a certain amount of clients.
That's right. Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
I'm like Harvey Norman. When it's gone, it's gone.
Countdown. and then your Instagram, your Facebook, tell us where they are or what's your handles on them.
So I'm probably most active on Instagram, and that's Orla_McAndrew_. And the Facebook is Orla McAndrew Catering.
Fantastic. And as well, as we said, they can go on to Neighbour Foods in Kuskinny, and you are going to be going on to another few Neighbour Foods as well, and yes, also order to there. Fantastic. Yes. Orla, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you as my first of 2021. It was really lovely getting to know a little bit more about your business. Everyone else, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Red FM, for producing the podcast. And as always, please like and share. See you next time.
You've been listening to a Red FM podcast. For more extra content, go to redextra.ie.